The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone today to our service of thanksgiving and remembrance. I want to say welcome to those who are here with us in the church building, and also to those who are watching at home. And we're conscious that today we have people watching both here and overseas as we gather to remember with thanksgiving before God 26 people who had an association with our parish in different ways. And we're always conscious as we gather for this service that it can be a difficult one for people, especially if funeral services had to take place either here or elsewhere in very restricted circumstances because of the pandemic. And our hope is that this service will give all of us a chance to remember those special people and to reflect on the Christian hope that death is not the end. I wanted to mention just one or two practical things about the service before we begin. The words of all our hymns and the liturgy will appear on the screens apart from our first hymn. And you'll have the words for our first hymn. And the reason for that is during the singing of our first hymn, there will be a photographic tribute to those who we will be remembering on the screens during the singing of our first hymn. So I wanted to just mention, before I begin again, a few words of thanks. I want to thank especially our technical team who are live streaming the service and enabling those in at home and in other places to tune in today. And Peter, I know, has done a lot of work on our photographic tribute, but I want to thank all our technical team who've been involved in preparing for today. Also wanted to draw your attention to our lovely floral tribute. Anna Lemon made this lovely tribute, and each white flower in our tribute represents somebody who we are remembering today. So we use that as a focal point for our service. And I also want to say a brief thank you to Linda Leonard, who coordinated the updating of our Book of Remembrance. And if you wish to take a look, it's all been updated at the back of the church. And Linda Campbell in the office, along with Linda Leonard, has been liaising with families for today. Thank you to our wardens and Barbara and all our stewards who are keeping us safe as we gather in these challenging times. So as the service begins in a moment or two, I will read an opening prayer. Then I'm going to read out the 26 names of those we are remembering today. And if you're tuning in at home, you may have other people that you would want to remember. And just take the opportunity in the quietness to remember people who are close to you as we read out these names this morning. And then after a little time of silence, I'll announce our opening hymn, which you'll find on that little sheet that you received. And as you sing it, we will see all the photograph tribute to those that we are remembering today. Some families haven't chosen to submit a photograph, and some families are unable to be with us today. But we want everyone to know that these people that we're remembering today are not forgotten as we remember them before God with thanksgiving. So I'm going to just ask everybody if you'd like to just bow your head, and I'm going to just begin with an opening prayer. And then we'll have a little time of silence, and then I'll read the names. O Christ Jesus, when all is darkness and we feel our weakness and helplessness, give us the sense of your presence, your love, and your strength. Help us to have perfect trust in your protecting love and strengthening power, so that nothing may frighten or worry us, for living close to you, we shall see your hand, your purpose, your will through all things. Amen. And so today in our service, we remember with thanksgiving before God Billy McKim, Tom Hughes, Wynne Sharp, Dolores Whitaker, Tommy Hutchinson, Frank Savage, Ernest Gillespie, Raymond Fisher, Jim Humphreys, Kay McDowell, Ivy McBride, the Reverend Desmond Logan, Peg Brown, Trevor Barr, Myrtle Hodgett, Billy Glass, Nell Bickerstaff, Bridie McCollum, James Crow, Gerald Murphy, Bob Chalmers, Linda McAlevey, Eileen O'Driscoll, Ruby McCulloch, Veronica Doran, and Maureen Rogers. We stand together to sing the words of our opening hymn, For All the Saints.
Thank you. Our service this morning is morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 130, and we'll stand and read it together. Out of the depths, out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to mark what is done amiss, O Lord, who could I stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him. In his words is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the night watch. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book, First Book of Kings, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain to the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Here ends our Old Testament reading.
We're going to stand now and sing the Magnificat, which is a beautiful poem and song about the hope that we have in our Lord. Please stand. Please take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 5th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here ends our New Testament reading.
We're going to stand together and sing the Nunc Dimittis, which reminds us that when our job is done, we will have rest and we will have peace in our Father. Let's stand and sing together. We'll stay standing and we'll share together the words of the Apostles' Creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the fourth Sunday before Advent. Almighty and eternal God, you have kindled the flame of love in the hearts of the saints. Grant to us the same faith and power of love, that as we rejoice in their triumphs, we may be sustained by their example and fellowship. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. During our next hymn, the children will leave for Sunday school, and our thoughts and prayers go with them as they go. And our hymn is Blessed Are the Pure.
In your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we welcome everyone to today's service, we gather for what I always think is one of the most important services of the year. And it is, without a shadow of a doubt, also one of the most difficult, and especially if you have a personal connection with one of the 26 people whose names we read out in the introduction to our service today. So today's service, I believe, offers all of us an opportunity to do three things that are very important. And first of all, I believe this service offers all of us an opportunity to remember with thanksgiving those people who had connections with this church community at some point in their lives. So today we remember with thanksgiving before God the people that they were. We remember the gifts that God gave them. And we also remember with thanksgiving the way that they influenced our lives for good. Each of the people that we are remembering today touched the lives of those around them, their friends, their neighbors, and of course, their immediate family. In fact, these people who we're remembering in many instances shaped us, and they made us into the people that we are today. Maybe they showed us how to do certain things. Maybe they passed on moral values and they developed our character. Maybe they were the person who passed on to us the most precious gift of faith in Jesus Christ. And so today, in the first instance, we are thankful for these people and for their memory that lives on. And one of the powerful things we reflect on today is how even after they have physically left us, these people continue to bear fruit in our lives. I know that I always feel proud, for example, when someone says to me, who knew both my father and myself, when they say to me, "That's exactly the sort of thing your dad would have said or done after I do something." And so there is that knowledge that even after they have gone, they continue to influence us for good. And I'm often conscious when we have this service and when we do it in the way that we do, that a service of this kind is quite counter-cultural, or it's almost the reverse of the culture of our day, which does its very best to ignore the reality of death. Modern people don't always welcome that reminder that death is a reality that will impact each of our lives in the most personal of ways. And so the second purpose of our service today, as I see it, is to acknowledge our grief and our pain, the sense of loss that we all feel as we come together. And it is a sense of loss that in many senses has been heightened for those who have lost loved ones during this pandemic, when the restrictions meant that we couldn't visit as frequently as we normally would if times were normal. And of course, funeral services were conducted in very restricted circumstances. So people couldn't come to your house as they normally might, or hug you and shake your hand, or gather around you in large numbers to offer their support. It's been pointed out to me on a few occasions, and on reflecting on times of sorrow in my own life, I would say it's true that sorrow can teach us significant and important things. We would wish we didn't have to learn them in that way, but sorrow can teach us important things. For example, many a person has discovered in their time of sorrow their fellow man and woman and their Lord as never before. And sometimes it is that compassion and comfort embodied through God's people that makes so much difference at a time of loss. And so today, while here in the church building we might be socially distanced, and our capacity is reduced again because of the restrictions, we realize that as we gather together, we are here for each other as we acknowledge the difficulty of the particular journey that we're all on. And so you might be watching this service online, you might be watching this service at home, and you might be in isolation this morning. You might be across oceans or even countries and continents. But we want you to know that as a church family, we are with you as you grieve and you remember. And so that's a really important part of our service today. When things are going well for us in our lives, it's possible to live very easily on the surface of things. But then when sorrow comes, we're driven to deeper places within ourselves in life. And often in that place, a new strength and beauty comes alive in our souls. And it certainly makes us more compassionate, I think, to what others are going through when we hear of the losses that they might experience. So today we remember, today we acknowledge the sadness, but also today we want to proclaim that the Christian faith has really important things to say on the subject of death. And I want to suggest to you that, in fact, the Christian faith offers, in the midst of our loss, a hope that is unrivaled. We recognize today that great victory that Jesus won over death when he himself died for our sins on the cross at Calvary, and 3 days later he rose again. And so for a Christian believer, death does not have the last word. But whenever our bodies decay and they fail, there is a much bigger picture to hold in front of us. It's an eternal picture in which all things are made new. And as the book of Revelation puts it, in this new eternal reality, there will be no more mourning or crying or pain or death, because Jesus makes everything new. In reflecting on his own mortality before he died, one of my favorite Christian writers, a man called Henry Nouwen, he wrote about the experience of going to a circus. And as he went to this circus, he befriended a family who were part of the circus. They were trapeze artists. And he was absolutely mesmerized when he went to the circus by the grace and the beauty of their performance. And so as he became friendly with them, he used to go and watch them practice, and he very often would go and watch them as they performed in the circus. And as he reflected on that experience, he compared the process of dying to being the flyer in that transaction. And he saw the Lord as being the catcher. And this is what he said. And take a listen, because I think what he says is really important. He said, "Death is trusting in the catcher. Caring for the dying is saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember that you are the beloved son. You are the beloved daughter of God. And he will be there when you make your long leap, your long jump." He said, don't try to grab him. He will grab you. Just stretch out your arms and trust, trust, trust. So often, whenever people that we love who have endured serious illness, when we think about that time in their lives, our abiding memories are memories of struggle and pain and decay. And yet the Christian faith tells us that Jesus wants to offer us that new future where all of those things that held us back in this life have had their day. And the other beautiful promise held out to those who have put their trust in Jesus is the promise of being reunited in his nearer presence with those who have gone before us and trusted in him. And so it is to those eternal realities that we turn today, and we place our trust afresh in the one who has the power to not only sustain us, but transform us and give us the victory. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. In our prayers today, we give thanks for the compassion and the care of the Christian community as we give thanks for the lives of those who we remember in our service today. Lord, we thank you today
for our church family. We thank you for all those who come alongside us in our sorrow. We give thanks for those who helped us in all sorts of practical ways. We thank you for those who helped us to make the practical arrangements that we needed to make. Thank you for those who phoned us or sent us cards and messages of sympathy. Thank you for those who brought food or offered financial help or did things for us that we weren't able to do ourselves. Today we give you thanks for those who listened and cared and who continue to love and support us on our journey. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We want to pray today for your support, Lord, your comfort and your strength for all who mourn, as we remember especially all the families represented at our service today. And so we pray for those here in the building, those watching at home, and those who are remembering different loved ones and friends gone before us. Grant, O Lord, to all who are bereaved the spirit of faith and courage, that they may have strength to meet the days to come with steadfastness and patience, not sorrowing as those without hope, but in thankful remembrance of your great goodness in the past and in the safe expectation of a joyful reunion in the heavenly places. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray for our world and its future this morning as the COP26 talks in Glasgow continue this week. Lord, we lift before you the important climate talks that are taking place, and we pray for the future of this planet. We're sorry for the damage that has been done, but we come before you knowing that you are a God of mercy and miracles. May the common desire to protect the world enable good conversations, positive actions, and bring about unity. We pray for countries on the front line of climate change who are experiencing the worst impacts, having contributed the least. We pray that their voices would carry weight and power, and that you, Lord, would protect their place at the negotiating table. Lord, would you help us here in the UK to act with humility, compassion, and generosity? You are a God for whom nothing is impossible or too late, and in the face of this climate crisis, we hold on to the hope found in you and ask you to hear the cries of your people. Amen. And now we just take a quiet moment to remember before God any who are in our hearts as we come to church today, going through difficult times of illness or loss or challenge in their lives, as we pray for God's peace, healing, and mercy for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing together, Will Your Anchor Hold? Please stand. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether you're here in person or whether you've been watching online. It's been a very special service and an important service. Let's close now with a blessing prayer. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Gladden your hearts and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain in you always. Our closing hymn is the very beautiful Thine Be the Glory.